Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, great to have John Jackson, the Joker from X, in the house on this Tuesday, taking your phone calls and more. If you got something you want to talk about, 406-294-0970, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app as well. John, good to see you. We had a big show on Monday's Montana Talks. The chief of the entire U.S. Forest Service was in Montana yesterday, signing a major agreement with the governor and with the state of Montana. But before they did that, both of them joined us right here on this show and kind of previewed this huge agreement. So that was a big get on the show yesterday.
Dude, if you'd have had me on with, I would have got him at a break and say, hey, hook a brother up, please. Would you please grade the Forest Service road that goes to my cabin? Because the place is a freaking washboard. I would have hit him up for that for sure.
Well, yeah, but here's the deal. At least you got a road. I mean, look at what the Clinton administration did. Look at what left-wing Judge Don Malloy in Missoula did. And, you know, rest in peace, but former Democrat Congressman Pat Williams, I mean, they were all a big part of shutting down our timber industry, shutting down a lot of these mining jobs, shutting down Western Montana jobs, Western Montana industries. And this is what President Trump is working to reverse. And so we talk not only about this big agreement, but about the rescission of the roadless rule. And they're putting all that up for review. So all these access roads and these trails that the environmental left have shut down across millions of acres here in Montana and across the West, and they're going to bring access back. They're bringing access back. They're working to bring our timber industry back and more.
What they were doing under Biden and Obama, like, you know, near where my cabin was, all they have to do is designate this area, as which they did, as some kind of grizzly sanctuary or something like that, so that you can't use motorized travel through here. You can only use it from these dates to these dates. They use any kind of wildlife excuse to get that roadless thing done and all other kind of regulations they want to see.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah, they'd get a liberal judge. They'd get an environmental group to file a lawsuit and say, well, because of the lynx or because of the grizzly or because of the blank, they just make up whatever excuse. That animal is just a tool to lock you out.
That's it.
To deny you access to so-called public lands. That's why when I hear these left-wing activists shriek and shrill, public lands and public hands. You guys are the ones that are locking up access to public lands through your roadless initiative. I mean, your buddy Fussy Bussy, he's a part of this backcountry hunters and anglers. They wanted to block people with motorboats from getting to Flathead Lake on the river. But they claim all public lands and public hands. They don't even want you to drive a motorboat to get to Flathead Lake.
Paddle. Yeah. The only way you can do it is by paddling. Yeah.
Unless you're Justin Timberlake flying in your private jet to Jeff Bezos' wedding in Venice. You know, no rules for the climate alarmists, of course. No, he hopped on a boat, not a rowboat, of course. Trump.
You're listening to Montana Talks, bringing truth and freedom to Montana. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
All right, John, I should have started by asking you, what do you want to talk about here this morning? So let me start with you, and then we'll go to our callers to see what they want to talk about this morning as well.
Well, I'll put this way, this story under the Don't Tease Me files. Don't tease me about things like this.
Wait, before you do this, I don't know where he's going with this, but whenever John is in studio, you might want to put earmuffs on the kids. It's usually the most unwoke hour of the week. So now that that warning is out there, potential earmuffs for the kids, okay, the disclaimer's up.
All right. Don't tease me on this because, you know, if this does go for longer than 4 hours, I am going to have to call my doctor. What happened is, what comes out over the weekend is that Tom Holman has confirmed now that he has an investigation into AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, because apparently she had an illegal on her staff.
Really? On her congressional staff?
Yeah. I mean, absolutely beautiful. And they need to take that as far as they can take it. Pull every piece of paperwork, see who approved what, see how she was getting paid. You guarantee there is fake federal paperwork in her employment. Guaranteed.
Yeah, very interesting. Well, and then who was the Democrat member of Congress? She was arraigned in federal court the other day. She was the one who was fighting with federal law enforcement as they were rioting in front of
LaMonica McIver.
Yeah, that detention facility there.
Can I ask a question on LaMonica McIver? Okay, now, you remember, Aaron, when it was a moral freaking imperative that we had to get rid of George Santos, right?
Remember?
And all the Republicans joined in. And we just can't have it. He hadn't been convicted of a thing, okay? It was just like some wire fraud and identity theft. I don't think he was.
But either way, it was allegations. And so your point, many others at the time were saying, hey, you know, the Democrats don't get forced out of Congress because of allegations. So why would he be forced out because of allegations, especially when the Republicans had such a slim majority?
Well, and here we are. LaMonica is on tape assaulting federal agents. She has now been charged federally with this. Why are we not hearing about a move to get her expelled from Congress?
That's a good point. Remember when we were at the SHOT Show in Vegas that one time? And we were like the only ones on the SHOT Show floor because it was dark 30 in the morning. And we got to talk and we were like, we started joking. Oh, the news had come out that this George Santos character had been a drag queen. And so then you and I, we were like, that's it. You can't criticize the guy. You can't say nothing about him because he's wearing drag queen body armor. So you can't take a shot at the guy. He's got the drag queen body armor on. But eventually that the body armor guy, I guess, was not successful. They took him out.
I mean, yeah, we all know George Santos was fabulous, and he still is fabulous, okay? And, you know, he is, you know, kind of a little sleazoid, obviously. But, see, he hadn't been convicted of anything, number one. And number two, you know, like you're seeing right now with LaMonica McIver, the Democrats are never going to throw her out. But, oh, my God, we had to throw our guy out, right?
Well, why don't the Republicans move right now to get McIver out of there? Just throw her out of there.
Okay, Aaron, ask yourself why they're not. Yeah. You know why.
All right, let's go into the phone lines. Let's see what you want to talk about out there. We got Mitch in Kalispell listening to KJJR. Mitch, what's going on?
Well, I just wanted to make a comment about Sheehy having to sell his place on Flathead Lake. We have a place on Flathead as well. And we've owned that place probably, I'm guessing, about 75 years.
Wow.
My dad bought it before I was born. And the taxes on that thing, with this new tax increase, probably almost doubled. And now they're saying that they're going to increase a second home by 50 to 60%. So as of right now, we are, in fact, selling our place on Flathead because we can no longer afford it. And I feel bad for families that have had these places, you know, in their family forever. And it's gotten to the point where you cannot afford to pay the taxes on them anymore. And I have no doubt that Tim Sheehy probably has a pretty nice place. And, you know, it's got to be part of it. He's got to look at that and go, you know, we're paying $10,000 or more a year in taxes and not even being able to use this because I'm in Washington.
That's just got to be gut-wrenching.
I have no doubt that that's
just got to be gut-wrenching to lose that family place, that family cabin on the lake. I mean, that's just like, that's heaven. That literally is heaven.
It is. And it's not just us. I know of others that are having to do the same thing. And I don't know if we need a tax revolt, honestly. I think that's what it's going to take for them to open up their eyes and say, hey, we can't be doing this.
Like a sagebrush rebellion. People. Yeah, sagebrush rebellion. Well, that's just gut-wrenching and heartbreaking to hear about, Mitch. Thanks for calling in. Yeah, I was driving through the Flathead a couple weekends ago, and I asked my wife, I said, can we just drive down through Mission View Terrace here? I wanted to go see my grandparents' old house right there down by the lake, because it was just, man, I was so blessed to be able to just walk down to the docks and jump into Flathead Lake as a kid. But, yeah, John, this is kind of like the great replacement that we are seeing where, oh, families who for decades have had a cabin or, and this has been going on since the 90s, by the way, with our horrible property tax system in Montana that needs to be completely overhauled, is that, so basically you have a family that has a family place on the lake, but you can't afford the property taxes, so then you're basically forced to sell, and then somebody from somewhere else gets to come buy it up and enjoy it instead. It's the great replacement. Not a theory, it's happening.
Three legislative sessions now. Republicans, Republican governor, and then what have they done about it? Nothing.
Well, they've delivered property tax relief, but what we need is an overhaul, and the people can deliver that through a ballot initiative. The
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, John, I referenced Leonardo DiCaprio earlier, so I should probably fill our listeners in here. Leonardo DiCaprio would not be happy with the news out of Helena yesterday. So the U.S. Forest Service chief, along with Governor Greg Gianforte, they signed a major agreement. And I've now got the update. I've got the full agreement on our Montana Talks website. But we had the chief and the governor on the show yesterday. Here's how the Lee newspapers summed up the news. Logging to be expanded in northwestern Montana timber deal with Forest Service. This is a 20-year agreement. That's what the governor told us yesterday on the show as well. The deal comes in response to President Donald J. Trump's March 1st order to expand American lumber production on federal land by 25%. It applies to 200,000 acres of federal northwestern Montana land, allowing up to an aggressive 100 million board feet to be harvested annually. That is great news. Leonardo DiCaprio would not be happy, though. He would not be happy.
What everybody has to understand, and we'll keep repeating this for God knows how many years, these type of initiatives, and you and I know this from being in the federal government ourselves, the federal government is like the biggest gigantic battleship you've ever seen in your life. And you know how long it takes to turn a battleship, right? These initiatives and this growth and all this stuff that President Trump is trying to do will take 8 to 12 years minimum to actually get going and to make a difference, okay? Everything you see voted on now probably doesn't get put into effect for another couple of years. What we can't have in 2028 is the schizophrenic nature of the American voter to come in, and a guy like Gavin Newsom comes in here and he will shoot the whole thing down. It will be as if President Trump was never here. We have to control this place for 8 to 12 years to make all this stuff work.
But earlier I mentioned how Leonardo DiCaprio, if for those of you who are wondering what this Leonardo DiCaprio reference was about, the Daily Caller has this headline here. Climate warrior Leonardo DiCaprio attends Bezos' wedding as 90 private jets fly into sinking city. And I was reading this story, apparently the Guardian, the UK Guardian, had the story, and they noted how photographers captured DiCaprio, who is the United Nations messenger of peace for climate change. He was trying to hide his face with a baseball cap as he climbed onto a boat in Venice on Friday. But I'm just going to assume that it was not a rowboat, that this was a fossil fuel powered boat that he got on after landing in his private jet. And he is the United Nations messenger of peace for climate change.
Remember, with socialists and socialism, with Leo DiCaprio, just like you all saw it during COVID, always remember this one thing. Their rules are for you, not for them. It's never going to be actually applied to them.
All right, let's jump back into the phone lines here. Great to have Susan in Missoula on the phone lines right now. I was at the GOP state convention Friday night. But Susan, did I miss you? I think it sounds like you were there Saturday.
No, I was not there, and the reason is that 2 years ago, the duly elected Missoula Central Committee was denied their opportunity to vote in any capacity at the state convention. And I do find great issue with Republicans, like the nine of them, that voted consistently with Democrats. I definitely am not happy with that. But to deny an elected senator a vote just on the whim that you're going to show, you know, you're going to stand up and punish them, again, goes to the idea of what was done by the Republican state convention 2 years ago when they primarily dismissed, and it was led by Brad Cheetah, and I sat in on the hearings. They had been completely vetted. They had received all their credentials, and then on a whim, they were denied the opportunity to vote. And I don't think anyone, if they have been duly elected, should be denied the opportunity to vote. And I think we as Republicans should believe in the sanctity of the vote, but it doesn't seem that the Republicans in the state of Montana think that.
So just to clarify, you, because I remember you called in, you did not like the fact that these nine Republican state senators were voting with Democrats, especially on key rules and committee assignments and then on spending. But you also don't like the fact that those nine were not allowed to vote in the state leadership elections on Saturday at the party convention. Did I hear you correct there?
You heard me correct. And I think that there is room for people to debate and to maybe publicly even condemn Republicans that are, I mean, Democrats never, never condemn each other. They allow scoundrels to stay in Congress until they die. One of them was Dianne Feinstein. We are always fighting against each other. And
kind of like the George Santos reference that that John was talking about earlier.
Right. Yeah, right. And I agree that, I mean, Santos, you don't see the Democrats insisting that they're bad people that are doing bad things, and they really are doing bad things. They're like getting, you know, involved with fraud and so on, and they're being convicted. They're not being told to leave Congress.
Well, like case in point, Susan.
Republicans eat ourselves.
Case in point here, Susan, I saw some Montana Democrats, and I don't know if it came from their official X account, but if anybody missed the news, apparently a news story came out Friday night that Superintendent of Public Instruction Susie Hedlund, a Republican statewide office holder, unfortunately got a DUI, is being charged with a DUI in Belgrade, Montana, and she's apologized and says she's taken accountability for her actions, etc. But, you know, when a Democrat state senator from Missoula was passed out drunk in the middle of an intersection, I mean, that story disappeared in 24 hours. And then I don't remember any calls for her resignation. But now the Democrats already want to see a Republican immediately resign for something that a Democrat passed out in the middle of an intersection did not resign for.
Well, and that is precisely why I go back. We're kind of getting off the reason why it called.
Yeah, that's why I wanted to keep you on, so you could make the point you wanted to make there, too, yeah.
Well, I really object, and I appreciated Don Kay standing up for, you know, the rule of votes. I mean, if a person is duly elected, they were elected by a majority of the people, and in the case of my senator, Denley Logie, who was one of the nine, he worked tirelessly to get elected. And if you know, and I know you know, Aaron, how hard it is for any Republican to get elected in the communist state of Missoula.
Well, and, you know, you brought up, too, just the split and the divide in some of these county Republican organizations. And that's been tragic to see because, God, Susan, I've known you. You're such a great patriot, such a great conservative for the 20-plus years that I've gotten to know you. And I remembered our friend Colonel Sam Roberts on Friday night because, John, whenever you wear an American flag lapel pin, people think you're running for office. The reason I wear an American flag lapel pin is because I saw Colonel Sam. It was probably at a Pachyderm banquet or something like that. And he briefed four different presidents. He was a World War II veteran back when it was still the Army Air Corps. World War II, Korea, Vietnam, briefed four different presidents. And he looked at me and he said, oh, looking sharp, you know. And he pulls an American flag lapel pin out of his pocket and he puts it on there because he knew the importance of that American flag and what he fought for. So that's why I wear an American flag. But, John, I could see where you could argue that, okay, the voters elected them as Republicans, so they are a Republican state senator. But I think you could also make the argument, look, that the Montana GOP rescinded their recognition of these nine as Republicans. So that's why they said, hey, you can't vote in our party leadership elections because we have voted to rescind you your recognition. And then that's how the people at the convention voted. So I could see where you could, one, still recognize them as a Republican, the way they were elected in, but where the party could say, hey, we're not going to recognize you.
What everybody has to remember, and this came out big time with, you know, Hillary and Donald Trump back in 2016 and Bernie Sanders. See, these groups, the Democrat Party, the Republican Party, these are private clubs, private entities. They can do exactly what they want to do. Now, these nasty nine, they were elected to the legislature, true enough. So you can never bar them from voting, you know, in a legislative session. But see, the Montana GOP is a private club. It's just like our friend Greg Franks. You know, is somebody going to make him, you know, have you as a member of the cigar bar? No, he decides because he owns the place, right? This place is owned by the Montana GOP, and they can decide who's in their club and who's not.
I think Wendy could force him. No, she's a co-owner. Yeah, Wendy's great. Wendy from Weibo, she's awesome. All right, let's see. Let's go to Stephen Kalispell, listening to KJJR. Steve, what's going on?
Hey, good morning. It's been a while since I called.
Yeah, great to hear from you. Recognize the voice.
I was one of those activists back in the day that was with one of the multiple use organizations, and we fought all these initiatives that we saw coming, whether the three-state OHV, the lockdown of the Rocky Mountain Front, and the Roadless Initiative, among other things. And we didn't stand a chance. We had an administration and a government that was strictly led by all progressives. All the agencies were progressives. And they shut it down in a matter of years. It was a period of no more than 4 years when all those initiatives were conducted, not only here, but in Oregon and Washington and California as well. Now, I'd like to know why we can't turn it around just as fast, because we put all those mills out of business. We destroyed all the infrastructure. You know how many people were told, well, you'll make it out good out of in the new economy. So all the guys that used to make boards and plywood, now we're making widgets out of sticks. And putting my Made Montana stickers on.
Hey, hold that thought, Steve, because I want to hear more of what you have to say here. Yeah, because you've been in this fight for some time. The repeal of the Roadless Initiative, all these ways they shut down your access, all these ways they killed your industries. Steve, stand by. We'll come back to you.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
The Montana Wheat and Barley Committee, Montana Grains Foundation, and Montana Grain Growers Association, and Montana State University are excited to announce that Dr. Blake Weidenheft, a Glasgow, Montana native, has been announced as the new Winifred Asbjornsen Plant Sciences Chair in the College of Agriculture. Dale Schuler, who farms near Carter and is chair of the Montana Grains Foundation, says Dr. Weidenheft is a nationally recognized scientist with deep roots in microbiology, biotechnology, and CRISPR technologies. Schuler says this is a big win for farmers.
So the Montana Grains Foundation took up that task to create that endowment, and we raised $5 million to invest in ag research. What's so important about this is, you know, the wheat stem softlight causes somewhere between $70, $80 million in damage in Montana annually. But that pest is spreading across the United States. It started here in Montana and the Prairie provinces and then into the Dakotas. And then from here, it's gone to Wyoming, Colorado, Kansas, Nebraska, even further west in Idaho and Washington. So this pest is one that we're going to focus on. You know, it's something that we're pretty excited about getting somebody with the quality and experience and expertise to tackle that.
I'm Wayne Northland, and go Bobcats.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Okay, I think we're already out of here. We were sitting here smoking and joking. Well, we weren't smoking. We're not down at the cigar lounge yet. We're joking anyway. But, yeah, John Jackson, I was a little late putting my headset on there. I was checking my email here. I need to check the app messages as well. But so a friend in Big Timber last night sent me a note, said, hey, I got word from a friend there was some scanner traffic. Apparently the U.S. Marshals were working with the Sweetgrass County Sheriff's Office, and they were chasing some fugitive near Big Timber last night. So I had emailed Sheriff Alan Ronneberg earlier this morning. I meant to send him a text message or something too, but I just got an email back from him. He says the Sweetgrass County Sheriff's Office, with the help of Yerrick Aviation, I apologize if I mispronounce that, assisted the U.S. Marshals in the search and eventual arrest of Cecil, is it Leiby? Cecil Leiby? Anyway, Cecil L-E-I-B-Y is the name. So, and then I sent a follow-up to see what the fugitive was wanted for, because for some reason I'm not tracking that case in particular right now. So there you go.
Cecil, Cletus.
Cecil.
Cletus. Run. Cletus, the 5-0's here. Run. Run.
I think, wasn't it Mrs. Doubtfire with Robin Williams? Cecil, get back in your cell. Don't make me get the hose. I thought, was it Cecil in that one? I can't remember if that was Cecil. That's what, or was it?
A lot of people don't understand, like, about Montana. There's so many.
Lita. It was Lita.
These towns and entire massive geographical areas where there is no law enforcement, right? I mean, no law enforcement for 50 miles or more.
No backup.
Yeah. And so, you know, what happens is, people that are fugitives looking to get away from the law, get out of their problems, that's where they end up going, because they know nobody's going to run up on them, pull them over sometime, maybe accidentally pull them over, find out who they are. They end up staying in these little towns.
Well, and you just assume in smaller towns that it's good people, right? So you just assume that everybody's good people, unlike in those big cities. So that's why they try to hide out sometimes in places like that. Yeah. All right. Well, let's go back to Steve in Kalispell. Now, Steve, if I can, let me just give a little background here. I know many of our listeners, I know, recognize your voice. Yeah, you have been in this fight. When I worked for Senator Conrad Burns back in the late 90s, early 2000s, I probably read letters and emails from you back then.
Sure.
Speaking out against all of these access closures where the Democrats and the radical environmentalists and liberal judges like Don Malloy were shutting down your access. Because I know you love so much of these so-called public lands. I mean, you go hunting. You've gone hunting near Malta for a long time.
I was raised on them. You know, that's where I lived. That was my lifestyle.
Yeah.
That was my culture. You know, and they used to make references to culture in these NEPA documents, but NEPA was completely ignored in all of this stuff. You know, when they did the three-state OHV, they had a clip in there from... Their reason for it was a statement that Jimmy Carter made in an executive order to manage user conflicts. And when they decided they wanted to end OHV use, and there was so little of it, I could go out on the prairie south of Malta any day of the summer, and guess who was out there? Just me and the antelope, period. Okay? So when they said they needed a user conflict to shut everything down, they just went to that executive order, and they found it. And they just, anyone they didn't want out there... You're a user conflict, we're out of here.
Yeah.
There was no management, there was nothing. Just a blanket closure of any activity they didn't like.
And it was people like you. It was Citizens for Balanced Use. It was our snowmobile friends in West Yellowstone. It was Carrie White.
We weren't really organized back in those days. We got organized.
Just people.
You know, really, talk radio had its birth here in Kalispell over these natural resource issues.
Yeah, yeah.
Back in those days.
And I say that history... I say that history, Steve, because the point that you made before the break here, and this ties in with our interview with the Forest Service chief yesterday, and the Trump presidency, is that we now have a chance to make America great again, to make our timber industry great again, to make mining in America great again, to make public lands public again. In fact, you're inspiring me to send a tweet right now. Make public lands public again.
Right. You know, yeah, that's right. Make public lands public again, except we don't want you out here, Mr. Public. Get the hell out of here.
Just not the California public. Montana public.
Here's the biggest part of the issue, Aaron. The infrastructure is also human infrastructure, and the knowledge and the experience has been lost. A whole generation of kids know nothing of what their grandfathers knew. So how do you get that back? It took a century to get that kind of knowledge in these parts.
The mountains, the true mountaineers. The mountain men. That's a really good point. Steve, I appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much for calling in. We got other callers to get to here as well. But, John, your thoughts on the chat we just had here.
Well, like we were just talking about at the break and we didn't get to it on air, this attempt in the big, beautiful bill pushed by people like Mike Lee to make one big, beautiful land grab of so much of our public lands across the West finally got shut down. And even though the Senate parliamentarian struck it down, but then Mike Lee from Utah came back and tried to rewrite it. But then our ex-army, our Twitter army, just ripped him to pieces, and he finally yesterday rescinded it. And Tim Sheehy got in on that as well. It was also put up a bill, to nut it too. So it finally got put down, but we have to keep our eyes on this all the time.
By the way, that was a tactical term he just used there, by the way, if you're wondering. The alternate term for killing a bill. it's a law enforcement military veteran terminology there. It's in the manual. Go read it.
It's in the glossary.
Definitely
it's
a field
back.
Manual.
It's in the back, yeah.
Definitely a field manual on that one. It was interesting, too, because Mike Lee basically said, hey, I could not get assurances that if we sold this land, it would not go to, be bought by China or by BlackRock or something like that. So I pulled it. But Donald Trump Jr. weighed in against it. So many of our outdoor friends voted against it. Sean Ryan was speaking out against it. Ryan Zinke just did a podcast with Andy Stumpf, fellow Navy SEAL veteran, and the flathead of Zinke's. They're talking about it. So this is a big issue, and the sportsman vote is a massive vote. All right, let's go to Rick in Ronan next on the phone lines. Rick, what's going on?
Hey, Aaron, I'm on the road here, so I didn't hear a lot of what you were talking about. I didn't have good reception. And I may lose you here pretty quick, but I just wanted to comment. Well, since you're talking about those public lands, I'll just make a quick comment on that. I think they would be more appropriately called government land.
Yep.
And I would challenge folks to consider exactly where in the Constitution is there any authorization for the federal government to own these vast acreages like Forest Service land and BLM land. The reason I called before your discussion was your co-host made the point that political parties are private associations, and they certainly should be, but under Montana statute, they are actually public entities created by and controlled by the state legislature. And I'm on the road, so I don't have it in front of me, but I would encourage you to look up House Bill 318 from the 2019 session, sponsored by Frank Garner, and read the whereases and the statutes there that would
Do you think they violated the law potentially then, or the process by not allowing the nine to vote, or do you think they were still within the law, even whether political party or whether private party or public entity? Do you think they followed the law or not?
Well, that was the first I'd heard that happened, but I suspect, because under the statutes, the political parties are actually public entities, and I totally disagree that they should be. They should be private entities.
So they choose their members, et cetera.
I'm guessing that those nine individuals, if they were prohibited from voting, would have a very valid lawsuit based on those statutes.
Well, we have a caller on the phone lines next, right after you, who may have an answer for us on that front because he serves in the legislature. Yeah, great. I see we got Representative Jerry Schillinger out of Circle on the phone lines. Jerry, stand by. I'd love to hear your take on that. John, one point I wanted to make. Rick made a good point about, you know, people call these public lands. He says, I call them government lands. My Uncle Monty, great rancher, grew up ranching in northeast Montana near St. Marie, and then started the family ranch with my cool cowboy cousins in Fallon, Montana. But my Uncle Monty, I remember being out with him checking on cows one day, and he says, don't call them public lands. They're government lands. If they were public lands, the government wouldn't tell you to stay off of them. They're government lands. If they were public, you wouldn't need the government's permission.
Have you ever looked at the state of the state of Nevada's map?
Oh, it's crazy.
Yeah. Oh, my God. You just got the area of Clark County and of Las Vegas and a couple other counties, and the entire rest of the state is owned by the federal government.
By the way, my Uncle Monty, he had this little notepad in his pearl snap shirt. It would sit in that little pocket right there. Every detail about those cows and about the weather and everything. He recorded it all. And my cousin Logan, I was at the Dawson County Lincoln Reagan dinner. He had that same book still in his pocket to this day. Pretty cool. Family tradition.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
John, I love the fact that we've got a Jerry on the phone lines because you and I were talking about alligator Alcatraz down in Florida. Did you hear about that, Jerry? They got alligator Alcatraz down in Florida. Did Trump already show up?
He's there right now. Yeah.
He's there right now at alligator Alcatraz. By the way, I should check in. I did a poll on X earlier. John shared it as well here, x.com/Aaron Flint. I said, what is more dangerous, alligator Alcatraz or Aurora, Colorado? 90% say Aurora, Colorado. So, but you still got time to vote.
Ron DeSantis already said, as soon as Trump leaves today, they are open for business. They're going to start accepting plane loads of illegals. And what I want to see as those planes arrive and those people are taken off the planes to go into alligator Alcatraz, I want to see a look and a procedure like you saw down in El Salvador. Where get off that plane, get down, get your hands up, get in there, shave all of them, get in there.
Yeah, you're hunched over in the position. Yeah. Yep, you're not doing the airborne shuffle either. You're like doing the crab walk.
You're doing the leg iron shuffle is what you're doing. Yeah.
All right, well, I mentioned we got Jerry. It's not Jerry in Florida. It's Representative Jerry Schillinger in Circle, Montana. Jerry, always great to hear from you. I think you wanted to kind of talk about the GOP convention over the weekend anyway. First, though, any thoughts on what the caller from Ronan had to say?
As far as the legality of what happened?
Yeah, well, as far as, like, is the state party kind of its own private organization, or is it a public entity according to Montana law? And then either way, were they within their rights as an organization to say who gets to or not to vote in their own organizational elections?
Right. Okay, well, I tend to agree with John. I'm not an attorney on this, but I tend to agree with John that the Republican and Democrat Party are private. They have a right to make their own rules and follow their own rules, just like the legislature has the right to make our own rules and follow our own rules. Pretty what the courts say when it comes to that.
Interesting.
But I think more importantly, Aaron, what happened at the convention was the Republicans from across the state overwhelmingly voted that the Republican brand needs to mean something. And that the nine, whatever you want to call them, just totally violated the trust of their voters when they ran as conservatives. They teamed up with the Democrats to pass a lot of bills, a lot of spending that now the governor's having to veto. To date, about, I think,
about $400 million worth of bills the governor has vetoed that these guys and gals' fingerprints are all over. They helped the Democrats to basically bust the budget, if you will.
And certainly what I heard Friday night too was, okay, there's lawmakers, you know, nobody's ever going to vote the same way on everything. I think this was part of what Senate President Regeer talked about Friday night when I was emceeing the banquet there. Nobody's ever going to vote the exact same way. He said, heck, I don't even agree with myself 100% of the time. He said, but, you know, and certainly, I mean, you know, John off air, we talked earlier, John made a good point that, like, you had some House Republicans that were voting with the Democrats a lot of the time. But it's different when you're undermining your caucus leadership with control of the floor and committee structures and the rules of the chamber. That's what seemed to what seemed to really say, you know, whoa.
Well, you're exactly right. And what happened in the Senate happens in large part in the House as far as the votes are concerned. They work back and forth to promote or kill legislation that they tend to agree on, the Nasty Nine and the big government Republicans in the House. But you're right. They totally corrupted the process of the Senate, how it operated, and really threw a lot of what happened the whole session of the whole legislature in a chaos. So I think that, again, the voters across Montana, that the Republicans that met in Helena decided enough was enough, and we agreed with the state executive board when they censored the nine during the session, and we just didn't feel that they had any right to help elect new leadership.
All right. Well, Jerry, great to hear from you. Thanks so much for calling in. Yeah, sorry I missed you on Saturday if you were there, but we had to get out on the lake, you know, twist my arm. We promised some friends we'd take them on the lake. So I just had to go to the lake, John. I just had to. Let's see, John, we got about a minute or so to go here. Mary in Butte says, good news. The pride flag is down in Butte. We have our city flag back up, and it will always fly as it should. They had no right to fly that flag in June, and they won't do it next year. We will be on top of it. I just got to wonder, you know, those old-school Irish Catholic Democrats in Butte, that had to really poke them in the eye. If anything, you know, I mean, I just wonder when they're finally going to bail on the Democrat Party, because they've been killing union jobs. They've been, you know, against the working-class people. Then they poke them in the eye with that pride flag over Irish Catholic Butte. It'd be interesting.
I want to make a comment real quick back on the on Mr. Schillinger. You've heard a lot of these people now, these rhinos, that once they've got caught in their shenanigans, some of them are trying to say, I didn't know. I was fooled. I was naive. They pulled me in. Let me tell you something. If you didn't know, you're too stupid to keep this job. If you did know, you were in on it. Either way, you're out.
John Jackson, the Joker. He gets serious, too. He's not just a joker. At PVT Joker US on X.